Blog Talk Radio.
I got to talk. I gotta tell what I feel. I gotta talk about my life as I see, as I see.
Welcome, welcome. You just tuned into the Hour Show.
-10, -10.
And it is the biggie.
It is the biggie.
It's your boy Journey Gray.
Nine,
I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, man, cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghostwriting, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm precise. When I'm writing, took the score of my life through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift, and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming, life in bullets in the hundreds. In Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the armor. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this thriller. Yeah. This place bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo.
This is Journey Praise, and you are now tuned in to the D-Hour Show.
What's going on? It's the D-Hour Show, no doubt, in the building once again. Your boy D Slate and the crew. Yes, you know, you already know how we do it. It's the lovely Tuesday spot on this lovely Tuesday. And we're going to keep it lovely. It's Tuesday, September 11th. Yes, 11 years ago, we had a tragic tragedy that happened in America, and we're definitely going to be talking about that and talking about where we were and what was going on when it happened and our thoughts of what we were thinking when it happened. And throughout the show tonight, we're definitely going to be playing some songs as a tribute to 9/11 and those that laid their lives down on the line to save those individuals that needed help, and definitely those that lost their lives to this tragic atrocity that happened in America, and one of the worst tragedies in American history. But we're going to press on as we've always have, and definitely our prayers and condolences continue to go out to the families who lost loved ones in that tragic accident. But also tonight, we're going to try to keep it on a brighter note because it's the Tuesday spot. That means D. Slate, C-K-L-E-O, the brothers of the D-Hour Show is in the building. C-K, what's going on, bro?
Not much. What's going on with you, D?
Not too much, bro. Not too much. We're, just kicking back and just trying to be positive on this 9/11 and on this Tuesday. And just trying to be more positive, man, and put some positive, you know, words out there and, spread the positivity all around and, so everybody know that life goes on and we're going to continue to keep moving on and pressing on. So living good, man, loving life. Living good, loving life. L.E.O., what's good, bro?
Man, oh, man, oh, man, I tell you, boy, I'm not trying. It's Elio. It's your boy. It's always your boy. Live every day optimistically. But it is like 9/11 in my home right now. And we're going to the quote-unquote breakup. So, you know, furniture being moved, things being broken. So, I don't know what I'm walking into when I get home. So, you know, but I'm good, baby.
That's real. That's real, bro. No doubt. But we're gonna keep the prayers going, man. We're going to definitely keep the fires burning and keep the light lit, you know, for everybody that's tuning in and listening tonight. But check it out on a brighter note, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Tuesday spot. Yes, indeed. So you already know what's going down tonight. We got a double treat for you guys tonight. Tonight, first up, and in a little bit, we're going to be talking to sensational actor Carl Payne is going to be in the building. And for those that don't know Carl by his government name, you may remember Carl from the hit TV show, The Cosby Show, known as Cockroach. You may have remembered him from the hit TV show, Martin, known as Coley Cole Brown. Also, he was also in the hit TV show, The Game. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we're going to be talking to brother Carl Payne is going to be in the building with us tonight, as well as coming up a little later. We're going to be talking to the beautiful actress, Miss Kimberly Brown, is going to be in the building with us as well. And you may have remembered Kimberly from such hit movies as Stephen King's Rose Red, Bringing Down the House with Queen Latifah and Steve Martin, as well as the sequel to Get Shorty, Be Cool. And she has an accolade of so many other things under her belt. And we're definitely going to be talking with her tonight and talking with her about her career and what she's got coming up, as well as Carl. So it's the Tuesday spot with Carl Payne, Kimberly Brown. They're both going to be in the building with us tonight, and we're going to be getting it in. So definitely make sure you guys keep it locked. Your boy D. Slate is going to be bringing you all the scores and a few highlights from this past first week of the NFL weekend. So, yeah, going to be bringing you the scores and highlights of anything anybody may have missed among your favorite NFL teams. So I'll be bringing you guys the scores and highlights tonight. So definitely make sure you get ready for that. But also, like I said, throughout the show, we're going to be playing some tribute songs to definitely pay homage to all those that lost their lives on 9/11, 11 years ago. So right now, D-Slate, CK, and Leo, we're in the building right now. We're going to be getting ready to get it in. I know the brothers can't wait to talk to Carl Payne and Miss Kimberly Brown a little later. So we're going to definitely get it in. And also, because you know, sometimes some people may not remember individuals a lot of times by their names. Kimberly Brown, if you guys, you know, want to truly remember her, if you remember the movie Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin and Queen Latifah, Kimberly played Steve Martin's daughter in that movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, you know, if you don't remember, but she was also, you know, I'm a huge horror movie fan, and I definitely can't wait to talk to her about that. But she was also in Stephen King's Rose Red, you know, which is a very good movie. I thoroughly enjoyed. She was also in it came out as a mini series, but then, you know, later, you know, was put out as a movie. But she was also in another horror movie, which I thought was pretty good, which was called Big Bad Wolf. But we're definitely going to be talking with her a little later. So keep it locked. D. Slate, CK, Leo, the D Hour Show, the Tuesday spot. Right now, we're going to kick it off with one of our tribute songs, you know, and we're going to hold a moment of silence before we kick this song off to you guys. And this is the Black Eyed Peas with Where Is the Love. The Hour Show, the Tuesday spot. We'll be right back.
Drama. Overseas, Crips and a KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and crying. When you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek, Father, 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 suffer some guidance from above. You people got me questioning.
Chemical gas is filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I can ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denies our brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
What's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Love, y'all.
Forgiven people dying, children hurt and crying. When you practice what you preach, what you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 suffer guidance from above. People got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
As I'm getting older, y'all, people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive and love is found.
Thank you. walk the beach with the sand in my feet. Place my ear up to a shell. I wonder if you miss me too, cause I've been longing to get to you. I'm sick of staring out my window sill. I'm tired of hoping she remembers me still. I'm packing my bags, I said I'm going back home to the place where I belong.
The river.
Gonna leave her again. You see, she stole my heart down by the river.
I
held my breath when they dipped my head,
and I came up shiny and
hallelujah. Found out about love in the back of my Impala when I
laid my plans for
you. Oh, baby.
you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker, then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. It's the D Hour Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's your boy D Slate. It's the Tuesday spot, playing all the hits. You already know how we get down on this lovely Tuesday. You just got through listening to the lovely Miss Leela James with her rendition of A Change Gonna Come. Before that was Noel Gordine with The River. And you heard before that was one of our tributes to 9/11, the Black Eyed Peas with Where Is the Love. Got my brothers in the building, CK, Leo. CK, was good?
Not much. Looking forward to the interviews tonight. Staying positive. And looking forward to the weekend when it comes around. Looking forward to Thursday. We got for our Celebrity Thursday meeting.
I like to surprise you guys. So you know, we'll see what goes down for Thursday. We'll see what's gonna go down for Thursday. I like to surprise.
Right.
You know, I like to do that. Leo, what's good, bro?
Oh man, I was thinking a little bit about the discussion we were gonna have about the 9/11 and exactly where I was back then and the mood I was in. And then I always have something that goes on in the fall. Like when I relapse from my brain surgery, like I go back into that field and it's always something happening in the fall and now my happenings. So it's always something, every year, never fails.
Well, I mean, let's We can, yeah, you know what, I'll wait, because I know that's going to be a nice, deep little discussion when we get into that.
Yeah.
Actually, brothers, you know what, did you guys get a chance to check out the VMAs?
You know what, I didn't.
I didn't either.
Well, I know,
you
apparently.
You need cable for that?
I don't know if you guys had heard about it. Well, you know, allegedly, I guess at the end of the VMAs, Chris Brown, during the Chris Brown and Rihanna performance, they kissed each other.
Whoa.
Wow.
Now, allegedly, his girlfriend supposedly upset about the kiss, as well as, I don't know if you, as well as, check this out, on another note, Chris Brown has a new tattoo on his neck of a battered woman. And some people are wondering whether or not it's supposed to be. You know how people start talking. Well, I wonder if that's Rihanna, or I wonder, you know, who is that supposed to be, and what does that represent? So, of course, now you know he's back in the mild spotlight again concerning this battered woman tattoo he has on his neck.
Wow. I mean, it could be like a remembrance type of a thing of what not to do, but of course the public eye is going to throw all types of negative connotations towards it, so I don't think that was a smart move.
Exactly.
But see, I don't know. I don't know, brothers. You know, I feel like, you know, if it's something dark, you know, if it's something that you did that was messed up, you know, let me break it down. You know, Michael Vick, you know, his whole situation, you know, what happened to him. He ain't going to go out and get a tattoo of some dogs fighting on his back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So, Plaxico Burress,
You know, he's not going to go out and get a tattoo, a tattoo of a gun pointing down his arm and then a tattoo of a bullet wound in his leg. I know he ain't going to do something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, that's like a brother going to prison and getting raped in prison, and he get out, and then on his stomach, you know, he tattoo a man getting bent over being raped. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, why, you know, if that's the case, it's like, why put, you know, something, you know, why put some, you know, such a bad memory, you know, tattooed on your body? I mean, that, you know, to me, that doesn't make any sense.
I would hope that it's another subliminal message to that, unless he's just saying he's scarred for life.
Could be. That could be. You know, he's putting out a subliminal message saying, you know, I've been scarred for life because of this situation. That could be. That could very, very well be true. That could very well be true. CK, what were you about to say, bro?
I agree with Leo on that. It could mean something else. I look at the whole Chris Brown Rihanna thing in two different directions. One direction, I look at like they truly want each other. I don't care no matter what nobody says. They want each other. They were the ideal couple at the time when they were at the height of their careers, and she loves him and he loves her. That's how I feel on that part. And it's like, it seems like they just can't get away from each other. And on the other end, on that same end on that, it's like maybe whatever went down is just a typical boyfriend-girlfriend argument that Biggie carried out away, and people did take it out of content a little too much back then. And then on the other end, maybe they need some closure. So either way, it may be just me closure, you know. Ain't no telling.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Also, let me. I want to throw something else out there at you guys. Let me see if I can find it for you. It definitely kind of threw me off a little bit. But let me see if I can wrangle up the information for you. Now the information here's the headline. Former Eazy-E protege says Eazy-E was murdered.
Mm.
Here we go. Following a 10-year sentence, former Eazy-E protege BG knocked out is back on his grind. You may not recognize his name, but most hip-hop fans know him from his classic Dr. Dre diss song, Real MFGs, you know, Real Mother, you know, G's. Fresh out of prison, Knockout just released his first full-length solo album, fittingly called Eazy-E's Protégé. In a recent interview with Hip Hop DX, Knockout talks about the album and, most interestingly, a line from the record that suggests Eazy-E was actually murdered. The line reads, the way my big homie went out, he didn't deserve it. Try to say he died of AIDS, but Eazy was cold murdered. He says, I believe in my heart somebody did something to Eric, but BG said BG Knockout. The rapper believes Eazy-E may have been injected with AIDS by someone, given his abnormally rapid deterioration and death shortly after diagnosis. Whether this is true or not may have been known, but the former protege of Eric Wright is not alone. Fellow former Ruthless Records artist Crazy Bone also believes Eazy was murdered.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a gamble to talk on, which I think is.
CK, I don't know. What you think, bro?
I mean, to say that it could have been an inside thing, then again, Eazy-E, he wasn't Eazy-E for nothing, so I mean, but I don't know. I think it's a more of a thing to get publicity because he got a new album out.
Could be.
I don't know. It's convincing. It's definitely convincing.
Elio, you said it's convincing, huh?
It's convincing. Look, just to think about a way to murder someone without being technically caught. AIDS through a needle? That's deep.
That's rather deep. You're right. That is rather deep. We'll definitely get into more of that conversation a little later in the show. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I seem to believe our first guest may be in the building right now, brothers. And you always know when a guest is in your home, ladies and gentlemen, when you usually hear. So I believe our guest may be in the building, but to properly introduce him, I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, you may have known him from the hit TV series, The Cosby Show. The hit TV series, Martin. And the now hit TV series, The Game. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D-Hour Show welcome to the brother, the one and only, Mr. Carl Payne.
Yo, yo. What's good?
Carl, what's good, bro? Hey, man, you know what?
Yo, that was a real sexy introduction. I was expecting like fanfare after that.
No doubt, bro. I appreciate that. That's like real, you know.
You and Steve Harvey give like some really good introductions. That was pretty smooth.
I appreciate that. No doubt, bro.
I bet you was gonna push the button in here like.
I was gonna throw it in there, Carl, but my breath was kind of kicking right now, so I really didn't want to melt my computer. You know what I'm saying? I'm mad at you, bro. So, you know, I didn't want to do that. I meant to throw a couple of Tic Tacs in earlier, but you know, I really didn't get time to. So
I feel you. You don't want to fog it up. You don't want to mess it up.
Well, first and foremost, bro, I want to thank you so much, man, for joining us on the show tonight, man. It's an absolute honor to have you on the show with us, man. We all love your work, man. You are a true entertainer and true professional, man. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, brother, for having me. I'm glad to be here, man.
Absolutely. Now, I know something interesting, bro, that I had read that you were doing as well, and maybe some of the fans out there probably don't know, and I definitely want to get into that. I know all the fans, man, that are listening right now are probably curious as to what's been going on with you, bro, and what you've been working on lately.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, man, where do I begin? How about with how about right now and last night? Let's start there. I just finished shooting this movie, actually. A part of this movement. I'm starting a movement right now, okay? No, I'm not in the bathroom. It's a different kind of movement. I'm starting a movement. And beginning with this movement is this project called Project 11, done through our studio down here called Studio 11. And what we did was we took 11 up and coming filmmakers and producers and directors, right, and writers, the new ingenues, you know what I mean?
And we're basically
ushering them into the game right now. And so we assigned 11 different mentors, vets who I love and trust, who get it, you know what I'm saying, who get what we're trying to do, who get the movement. And we assigned those 11 people mentors, such as Tommy Ford, who is my dog. You know,
no doubt.
You know, yeah, I gave him a job, dog.
No doubt.
He didn't get paid, but you know what I'm saying. Lisa Ray, Miguel Nunez, you know, Tatiana Ali, Mel Jackson, you know, these are kind of cats that are involved with this, and I mean, and it's such a beautiful thing to see this new raw, uncut talent who is getting ready to bring to you the stuff that you've been missing for so long, man. I mean, because and the whole movement is basically redefining reality. I'm so sick and tired of everybody talking about what's relevant and reality TV, because I mean, the Housewives of New Jersey are not relevant to me at all. Okay, could care less. Okay, and we all know that ain't nobody else, nobody's reality. Okay, so stop it. And then the other side, the flip side of that is you got, you know, and I don't want to call no names out and shout the shows out, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going back to the Spit Plus TV. I'm not gonna shout it out. But I'm just saying, it's like, man, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, we're not moving forward, that's for sure. So, you know, that's what I'm out here doing right now, man. I started this movement, this train that's moving forward, that's getting ready to be a game changer. We're taking things to the next level. So, that's what I'm doing.
I feel that, bro. I think that, and I agree, man. I got to admit, I'm not a huge reality show fan, and I got to say, with a few exceptions, you know, I like watching The Voice, you know, American Idol, you know, different shows like that.
Right, right.
You know, some of the reality shows that's been coming out lately, you know, actually I'm kind of fond of R&B Divas as well, but some of the shows that have been coming out, I feel like, you know, when you talk about reality show, okay, you're supposed to have cameramen that are going around, they're filming everyday lives of these individuals involved in these shows, but I feel like it's not reality show when it's scripted, okay? You know, it's not a reality show when you're telling them what to do and you're telling them what to say.
Right. You know, I mean, you look at the first season of The Real World. Sure, that was real. That was raw. They gave it to you raw, man. They put them cameras up in there, put these people in the house, you know. But then now, you know, it's cookie cutter. You know what I'm saying? It's the machine. It's the whole, you know. So, yeah, you get it. And, you know, everyone else is just so dumbed down that they're like, they don't care. And at the end of the day, it's about these numbers. These cats don't care when they keep throwing it out there, you know.
Not at all.
But we're not looking at the bigger picture as to what kind of damage we're getting ready to be doing, you know, to ourselves. But I see it, so you know.
That's true. Well, I'm glad you I'm glad you put on the what I like to call the They Live sunglasses. I know you've seen the movie They Live. I'm glad you put the They Live sunglasses on. And
man,
got
I took the pill. I took the red pill. I went down the rabbit hole.
Pill,
okay,
baby. That's it. That's it.
I'm unplugged.
That's it. You know, so I'm glad though, because I think we really need a lot of the viewers out there, man, to really know what they're watching, and you know, let's bring back real television. You know what I'm saying?
Let's
bring back real film and bring back real television, because I agree, it's getting a little ridiculous. But it's good.
So
it's
redefining
good.
Redefining reality. That's what's
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's what we're doing.
I wanted to ask. I got some personal questions I'm gonna ask, but I know my brothers CK and Leo got some questions. CK, you got any questions for Carl?
I sure do. What's going on, Carl? How you doing?
What's good, C?
Glad to have you on the show. Truly do appreciate having you here. First question is, when you worked with Bill Cosby and Martin Lawrence, was there anything that they passed on to you about the business, or did you knew more about the business before you came into the sitcoms?
Yeah, drugs are bad. No, I'm just kidding.
I know that's right.
What what's interesting, man, is I did learn a lot, you know. I mean, you know, every experience you got to take away and walk away with something, you know, and God showed me exactly what to do and what to not to do through other people, which I'm thankful for, that it didn't have to be me. So that's what I took away from it. You know, I took away, you know, one, knowing that it's a business and you have to get your business together, you know, and your business is you. You know, it is show business, but you are the commodity, you know, and it's so hard to separate yourself from you when you are the business. You know, it's one thing when you're selling a product that you are not emotionally attached to, but it's another thing when the product is you. So, you know, you got to wear two different hats and have thick skin, stay hungry, protect your neck, the whole nine. So those are the things that basically you walk away with knowing, you know, preparing you for when it's your turn.
Okay. And then I'm going to ask you one more question, and I'll pass over to Elio. Is there anything that you haven't done yet that you really got to focus, that you that's the next thing in your future that you want to do?
let me see. Yeah. I think I'm on the path to doing it right now. You know, I've been directing and producing myself for a minute. You know, and along with these films I just told you about. So I think that's going to be taken to the next level very soon. You know, my character on the game is you know, reaching out and showing people now that there's another side to me. You know what I'm saying? That there's, you know, because you can get typecast, or you get sometimes, you know, bogged down into people thinking that you can only play one thing, or, you know, whatever. you know,
right.
But I think that's the first sign of the reemergence, the reintroduction of you know, the reinvention of who I am and where I'm going which is going to open up other doors. I'm getting ready to do a one-man show. That's something that I think people aren't ready for. You know, they've never seen, but it's going to be very honest and open. You know, I'm going to be on stage naked, not real, but you know what I'm saying.
Don't hurt him, bro. Don't hurt him.
Yeah, you know, there will be no front row. I'll tell you that. but no, for real.
Like,
there he is. Say what?
You have somebody backstage waiting for you, like, there he is. All the girls come around, like, that's him.
Yeah, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. But yeah, that's the next level of something that I, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I got into this business to make a difference, you know, to change the game, you know what I'm saying, to leave a legacy. So I have a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do.
Okay, great. That's what's up.
No doubt. Elio, you got any questions for Carl?
Sure do. I sure do. What's going on, Carl?
What's good, man?
Nothing much. All right, I'm going to start it with this. This is probably
Is your name Leo? Is your name
Leo?
Yeah, is it Leo?
It's spelled like Leo, is L, but I pronounce it as Leo. Live every day optimistically.
Oh, okay, cool. Then I'm Carl.
Carl, I like that.
Definitely rock with it.
I'm rocking. Now go ahead.
You said the kind of pain that don't hurt, huh?
I want to start by saying that I'm honored to talk to you. It's been a while since I've seen a real TV show like Martin. It's definitely one of my favorites, man. And there's not a character on that show that displeases me. That's an all around joint. I will always recess back to that, and it'd be fresh to me every time I watch an episode. But
appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries. Now I'm at work, and I'm telling everybody. I'm talking to Carl Payne. You know, call off of Martin. It's like, oh yeah. I heard he's a car salesman. I was like, what?
Yeah. I went. I mean, people. Here's the thing that trips me out. Here's what really trips me out. Okay. Having a job is not a bad thing. Like, I don't understand where people, you know, like. You know, some people are surprised or shocked about certain things. Of course, my mama told me to always keep a check coming in. So, realistically, I mean, I'm not currently doing it anymore, but I did it for a time for a reason. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it was necessary at the time. It was a humbling experience, you know what I'm saying? It was, you know, but it was necessary. And as a man, I'm going to always do what's necessary. You know, as a family man, I'm going to always do what's necessary to take care of my own. So, you know, so often, you know, you hear about all these other stories in Hollywood about these people who are cracked out or, you know, you always want to hear about the bad stuff, but they don't talk about the good stuff. And I don't see, you know, and I haven't really gotten a bad response from it because, I mean, it's not a bad thing, but they will try to paint it as such. It's like I grew up in a day and a time where having a job was the right thing to do, you know. You know, nowadays, if you're, you know, the stuff that would get you, I don't know, let's say, back in the day that would have you blackballed and never work again is the same stuff that keeps you out there today, you know?
Okay, respect, much respect. My next question for you is this project that you're working on, Project 11, are you introducing any up-and-coming inspiring actors as well as producers?
Yes. We shot mostly everything was done in Atlanta. And it's all, we used all new people. We used all up-and-coming actors and actresses, as well as the writers, directors, and producers themselves.
And so how would one connect with Project 11 and the movement that you're trying to, you know, set in stone?
I will give you the website, and I will give you the information to where to send everybody to. At the same time, you can follow me on Twitter for all those listening at Carl Payne. So that's at T-H-E Carl Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
So he said the Carl Payne.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And we'll be putting up the website. We already have a website for it, but we're making some changes to it this week. So then I'll give you the information what it sends everybody to.
All right. And that's the questions I have for you. I'm blown, man, and it's definitely was an honor speaking to you.
Thank you.
Now, definitely, Carl. I wanted to, you know, because I know a lot of the fans and a lot of the listeners right now. You're doing stand up comedy too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I'm pretty sure a lot of the listeners, a lot of the fans probably didn't know if they really weren't reading or paying attention, but and to be honest with you, bro, I really wasn't surprised. I mean, because you're naturally a funny dude. And so when I heard that you were doing stand-up, I was kind of like, damn, it's about time, you know, because he's a naturally funny dude. So I was like, yeah, I can't wait to you really divulge into that, man, and really get into that. And are you going to be, like, doing any tours? You're going to be going statewide, you know, national, doing any concerts?
What I realized, it's funny as you brought that up. This goes back to the one man show. like Bill Cosby was a great storyteller, right?
Right.
Like, if you're familiar with his comedy and the things that he did, like there's different types of comedians. Okay, I was an actor first. I was never a comedian, you know, but. You know, being a comedian is a craft and an art, and all in its own, all by itself. And I totally respect that area. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know when to stay in your lane. You know what I'm saying? Because you can be funny, but don't mean that you can be on stage and make a whole bunch of people laugh. You know, it's a unique gift. And you got to know what your strengths are. So I play to that, which for me is storytelling. You know what I mean? And that's the form of comedy that I do. Is, you know, I tell good stories, and it's just real. And, you know, because the comedy in real life comes out of real life situations. I mean, how often have you been in some situation where it's been you were scared to death over some crazy, but then you make it through and you start talking about it, you have everybody laughing. You know what I mean? Or if you're familiar with John Leguizamo, you know, I'm a fan of his type of comedy as well. You know, he's done several one-man shows, and I think that that's the type of thing that that suits me best, where it's like I can showcase all my strengths, where I can take people on an emotional journey, you know, take them on a ride, you know, and you know, at the same time, make them laugh, make them cry.
No doubt. I respect that. That's much respect. And you're right. A lot of some of the great comedians, you know, tell stories. I mean, Sinbad does it, you know, Bill Cosby, I mean, even Martin, you know, when Martin did, you know, does his stand up, he goes into a story type of, you know, after
Absolutely.
He tells a story, about what's going on and it hits you with the punchline. So yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I think, a lot of the great comedians, started doing comedy like that and to this day still doing that. So, well, I definitely can, you know, if you definitely start doing any tours or concerts, bro, I definitely can't wait to check that out. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I appreciate that. But yeah, you'll see. I'm coming your way. I'm gonna be away soon.
No doubt. Now I'm definitely curious. Some of your co-stars from the Cosby Show. I mean, do you still keep in contact with any of them? You know, Malcolm.
I was with Malcolm today. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was with Malcolm today. There's a project that we're working on, or I shouldn't say working on. Not he and I. I'm sorry. He and I are going to be working on a project together. That's why we were together today. I'm thinking about doing a project with Keisha Knight Pulliam. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No doubt. Now, I know you. Now, what do you think about the new show that Tempest is involved in?
Which one is this? I heard something about it. Which one is that?
She's in a new sitcom with Anthony Anderson.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't seen this yet.
I haven't got a chance to check it out yet, but from some of my friends that in the business that's gotten a chance to check it out, I heard it's pretty good. So I definitely can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna have to check it out myself because I was with Anthony like a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, "Yo, have you seen the new show?" I couldn't even find it. I was like, "Not yet."
Yeah, I heard it was pretty good though. I definitely heard it was pretty good. So I was happy for her, man. I was happy that you know what I'm saying, she's definitely getting back into it and doing her thing. Now, I know we talked about, you know, we were talking about like reality shows and different things like that, but you know that it's a lot of cats is coming out with a lot of talk shows. You know, Steve Harvey got the talk show now. Ricky Lake is back. Arsenio is back. What do you think about that?
Yo, I can't wait to see what Arsenio's is going to be like. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'm with you. I'm right there with you, bro.
You know, because I'm like, that's been long overdue. That's what I'm saying. We might
exactly.
be getting back. That's what I'm saying. There's a change going on right now. We might be getting back to some good TV, you know?
That's
yeah,
real.
Okay. Yeah, that was definitely one of my questions, too. That slipped my mind. Do you feel as though that we're going to get back to that good TV show era?
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. You know, like I said, it's a movement, it's a team effort, you know what I'm saying? And the more choices that you give somebody, you know what I'm saying, you'll see the difference in the numbers. But they got to have the choices. They got to have the choices. You can't have 15 shows that are horrible. What you're going to do is watch the best of the worst. But if you give somebody the other choice, because, again, the way this game works and this business works, it's about numbers. So when you got more people watching Honey Boo Boo than the Democratic National Convention, you know, when you got more people watching Honey Boo Boo than the Democratic National Convention, then you understand what's going on in our country.
Hey, CP, you know what, bro? Hey, when I heard about that, I was like, what the hell is a Honey Boo Boo? And I really didn't know what it was. Like I said, I don't really keep up with a lot of the reality shows, so I really wasn't big. I really wasn't too big on it. I mean, to me, it sounded like a new crispy chicken sandwich at Wendy's or something. Get you a honey boo boo. You know, I mean, I really didn't know what it was, but then I kind of read up on it, and I'm just in awe, man. I'm kind of beside myself, and I'm like, really, cats is really watching this type of TV?
Yep.
And I just couldn't believe it, man. I mean, I couldn't believe it, man. I really couldn't believe it. But I agree with you. I definitely can't wait till we get that era back, man. And I think, and I agree, it's definitely coming back.
Here's the problem. We live in a society of I want it now, you know. That's the same reason why Katz is mad. You know, certain people are looking at Obama like, you know, it's like, wait a second. Don't you understand something? You know, he came into office when it was in
turmoil.
It was already 8-12 years deep. You know, like,
exactly.
It's gonna take a second. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing with this other movement, you know, that we're trying to make here with the television, you know. But it does take us actually turning this channel and not watching the nonsense, you know. Because then once they see it, the numbers aren't there, it's gone. Then it'll go away.
It's real. No doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
That's what they have to, you know what I'm saying? You have to show them that.
My last two questions for you, bro. Also, I know you stated earlier that you're definitely still staying in contact with Tommy. Now, do you still stay in contact with Tisha, Tashina, or Martin?
I saw Tisha like about a week or so ago. You know, her and her husband Dwayne just opened up a restaurant out in California. Nice little lounge, beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful,
okay.
Sexy spot called Zen, X-E-N, on, Ventura Boulevard in the Valley, named after their son. Beautiful, beautiful spot. Tashina, and I've been doing her, Tashina and Tisha, since I was like a kid, you know, so, you know.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no doubt. Now, I know, what do you think about your brother's success in his new TV show, House of Pain?
Man, you know, everybody got to work. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Everybody's got to work, and it's as long as you're consistent with it, you know, that's a beautiful situation. You know what I mean? And it's like you know, he hasn't stopped working, so you know, there you go.
Yeah.
Keep rocking. Keep giving them checks. You feel me?
now, bro, we've been talking today, and we're going to continue to be talking throughout the show about, today's 9/11, man, and, you know, we're definitely sending, you know, condolences and prayers, you know, out to all the families and everybody that lost loved ones in that tragic incident. But, you know, real quick, your memory of that day, man, and where you were when it was going down.
Man, it was crazy. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm sitting. All right, check it. I'm in New York when this happened, right?
Oh, wow.
I am not supposed to be in New York, okay? I'm supposed to be in Atlanta working on this project. I was going to Atlanta to do a play, okay? But I love golf. I love sports, you know, and different all kinds of sports, right? So John Sparks had a golf tournament, and he invited me to it at the last minute. So I was like, cool, you know. And I had left the wife and the kids to come over here to do the play, but I snuck off for the weekend to do the golf tournament. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't gonna say. I wasn't going to say, oh, I'm over here having a good time. I'm over here. You know, I was like, okay, it's only going to be a day. I can just go up there and do it. So I really, but I had, you know, it wasn't intentional, like, okay, I'm trying to hide something. I just didn't mention I was going up to New York for a day or two. And so when I was there and I did the golf tournament. It was only one day, you know what I'm saying? And I left the very next day. And I'm on my way back to the airport. when it was going down. So I'm in the back seat of the limousine, and we're sitting in traffic, and I'm watching TV, you know, in the back, and I can see the airport. That's how close we are. I mean, you know, and I can also see the World Trade Center. If you've ever been to New York, then you know you can, you know, proximity, you know, it's just right across the water from where I'm at in Queens.
Right.
So you can see it. And I didn't see the first plane. I didn't see the first plane hit. And they were talking about, you know, the news lady was on the camera talking about what, you know, was going on. And I asked the driver, you know, what's going on? And he's like, you know, I don't know. Something happened at the World Trade Center. I'm looking and it's showing, you know, that the building's on fire. I think there's a fire. So I didn't know that there had been an accident with the plane. So I'm watching it, and then they're telling you, oh, no, this plane ran into the building, da, da, da. So I'm, like, tuned in. As the second plane is going towards the building, I'm watching it happen simultaneously. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, and then it crashes into the building and all chaos breaks loose. And all I could think was, who is controlling these planes? What's the problem? Like, you know, like, I didn't know. The terrorist attack was like the furthest thing from my mind. I was just thinking, like, we got to either get some new pilots or somebody at control, radio control need to be fired because they're not directing traffic properly.
That's real. That's real.
You know, I mean, I'm just, you know, I mean, I ain't trying to be funny, but, you know, it was like, what the hell is going on? And then it became a situation where, no, this might be something else, you know. And I was like, okay, then you need to get me out of town. We need to get out of Dodge. And I literally told the limo driver, like, to turn around and take us north, like, get us out of that city altogether. And we drove, like, all the way up to, like, Hartford, Connecticut. And I was like, we getting out of New York altogether. You know, like, we going as far as we can go. But I was, you know, they continued to watch everything happen on the television. And when the buildings fell, all I could think was, oh, my God, all those people. You know what I'm saying? Because if you know how tall that building is and how many people, how many lives were lost. You know, they were showing people, you know, trying to jump to safety, you know, or to just, you know what I'm saying? Is that, you know, the alternative was burnt, was jump or burn, be burnt alive. It was just, it was like surreal. It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen in my life. And me being from New York, you know what I mean? It was more personal, you know, and today I think we're desensitized by media. You know, I was watching the news tonight, man. It was like they was talking about, I mean, in a 5-minute segment, they must have reported like 13 things that were horrible. And they were talking about it like they were selling candy. You know what I mean? Dead body was found in the bushes. Coming up next, you know, and it was like you're desensitized now. We're desensitized by the media about violence and so forth. So even when, you know, if you hear about an earthquake over in Malaysia, you're like, oh, that's horrible. What are we doing tonight? Like, you don't know how horrible it really is until you're in it or until it's affecting you directly. Mm-hmm. But I think you feel so far removed when it's not affecting you personally. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
When it's not.
Right.
You know, and all I could say was, you know, I mean, I immediately, of course, started crying and saying prayers because I just thought about all the lives, you know, that were lost in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Man, I agree, and I was kind of in awe, and I couldn't believe it myself. And I agree with you, bro. I think that you know, thanks to the media, we are, a lot of individuals are definitely desensitized to the whole situation. And granted, I know it's 11 years ago, but I agree with you, man. I mean, if people really truly don't know how tall and how huge those buildings were, man, we're talking about some serious lives being lost. We're talking like a huge number of lives being lost. So I wholeheartedly agree with you. But thanks, bro. Thanks for that memory. I know, like I said before, we're definitely going to be talking about that and, you know, the whole 9/11 situation throughout the show. And
Again, you know, prayers and condolences definitely go out to all the families and all the loved ones, the people who lost loved ones on that day. But I want to say first and foremost, Carl, bro, it was a pleasure, man. It was an absolute honor. I definitely couldn't wait to get you on a show and talk to you, man. Like I said, me and the brothers, man, we're huge fans of yours, man, and you do great. You do great and incredible work, man. I definitely can't wait to see what you got in store for the future, as far as work. And I know I got a lot of friends that were jealous that I was going to be talking to you today. That's in the radio business, because they some fans of yours as well. But I just want to say thank you so much, bro, for blessing us with your presence tonight, man, and being a part of the show tonight. It was a true blessing.
Well, man, I appreciate you having me. You know, I really do. I really appreciate you and everybody else out there that's ever believed in me, that's ever supported me. You know what I mean? That keeps sending positive energy and positive vibes, you know, my way. And I give it right back to you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I want to say, bro, you have a blessed night. And we're going to continue to keep supporting you here at the D-Hour Show, man. And as far as we're concerned, man, the D-Hour Show is your home. And you're welcome here anytime.
That's what's up. All right, then. We're going to do this again soon, then.
Absolutely. I want to get you back on soon, bro. So I want to talk to the comedy Carl next time we get you on the show.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, definitely have that one. You will definitely have that one. That'll be CP. That won't be Carl.
That'll be CP, no doubt.
That'll be CP, aka Poppy Santiago.
There it is. Well, Carl, you have a blessed night, bro. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, brother.
All right,
man.
Peace.
Take it easy.
It's the D-Hour Show on Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen. That was the incredible actor and comedian Carl Payne joining us on the D-Hour Show's Tuesday spot. D-Slate CKLEO. We're in the building. We're going to do a quick tribute song. Again, you know, we've been talking about the whole 9/11 situation, everything that's been going on, and all the memories and everybody's memories of what happened that day and just what they were thinking. And we're definitely going to continue throughout the show to be playing some tribute songs to that day. And when we come back from our tribute song, yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, it seems that our final guest is in the house. It seems that we may have the beautiful Miss Kimberly Brown in the building. I'm definitely a fan of her work as well. So we'll be right back on the Tuesday spot. Don't go nowhere. It's Beyonce with I Was There. I Was Here, right here on the D-Hour Show, the Tuesday spot.
I wanna leave my footprints on the sands of time. Know there was something that, and something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regrets. Leave something to remember, so they won't forget I was here. Everyone who knows
Welcome back. It's the D-Hour Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's the Tuesday spot. It's D Slate, CK Elio right now, broadcasting right here to you on this lovely, I say lovely, September 11th, because we're going to think positive and not negative tonight. And thank you guys so much for tuning in to the show tonight. You just got through listening to Beyonce, I Was Here, one of the tribute songs to all the individuals that lost their lives on 9/11. And like I said before, prayers and condolences definitely go out to all those families that lost their loved ones. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we have another treat. Our guest is in the building. Like I said before, usually when a guest comes to your home, you usually hear... Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, she has an incredible amount of accolades under her belt, from television to film. You may definitely remember her from the hit miniseries Stephen King's Rose Red, which is definitely one of my favorites. Also from the hit movie Bringing Down the House and the hit movie Be Cool, which is the sequel to Get Shorty. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D-Hour Show welcome to the beautiful Miss Kimberly J. Brown.
Thank you for that. That's awesome. How you doing?
Well, hi, Kimberly. How you doing? Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, first and foremost, I'm a huge horror movie fan, and I absolutely loved you in Rose Red, and also another film with that, you know, there's a lot of people that can't, you know, that don't like horror movies, but Big Bad Wolf. I'm a fan of that one as well. So that's actually what encouraged me to want to get you on the show when I saw Big Bad Wolf. I had recently saw it again. And I said, yeah, I definitely got to get Kimberly on the show.
That's awesome. Thank you. That movie was kind of like a fun independent horror movie that we did that was, you know, it kind of has some campy, fun undertones. And so most people got that, I think. Some people that maybe took it as like a very serious, you know, horror movie may have didn't quite get the humor, but it's kind of got an undertone of, you know, just some fun, campy humor to it too. So, but I enjoyed it. I love the character. So it's always fun to play somebody so different than yourself.
Absolutely. Now, before we get into your new project, because I definitely want to talk about that. What was it like? What was it like working with working on Rose Red, and what did you think about the whole Stephen King story of Rose Red?
Well, it's funny because when I did that film, I was 16 and I had no experience in the Stephen King genre at all. I had never read anything of his, and you know, a lot of people know him just from the horror stuff, but he's done Stand By Me and a lot of those other classic films, and he's
Yes.
He's such a great writer. Even reading the script, it was written very differently than a lot of typical horror films you get. There was separate notes for the production and little lines of humor, and it's just he's such a brilliant guy that it was just cool to read it right off the bat. But it was such a great experience because it took us about 5 months to shoot it in Seattle, and it was kind of crazy doing, we basically did a big 6-hour movie. So it was a lot of special effects and a lot of just stuff you don't get to do every day. So it was just very unique and probably something that I won't, you know, you don't get to experience in a lot of film and television projects. So it was a lot of fun.
I agree. It was a great film. A great miniseries and film. I enjoyed it, and I think that you're right. I agree. Stephen King is an incredible writer, and I know I've spoken to other actors who worked with him as well, and they all said the same thing you just said, that even his scripts were definitely different and they were interesting. And you know, but that just spoke volumes about what type of creativity that he had and the type of writer that he was. So absolutely, I'm glad you were involved in that. That was such a great film and miniseries. So now your new project for all the fans that are listening that don't know, definitely tell us about your new project right now.
I'm really excited about it. It's a drama, a pilot, which basically means it's the first episode of a potential series that you shoot. And networks order pilots, which basically you shoot the first episode of a show, and then they watch it, and they decide whether or not they want to, what they call, pick up the show or order more episodes and put them on the air. So it's a pilot for AMC Network, which also does Mad Men and Breaking Bad, a lot of those great shows.
Oh,
and The Killing. The
wow,
Killing,
okay.
Which was a favorite of mine, which unfortunately is not going to be on AMC anymore, but I'm hoping it gets picked up by somebody else. But
absolutely.
So it's kind of a gritty cop drama. It's based on a British miniseries called Low Winter Sun, and that's what the name of the show is too. And it's just like I said, kind of a gritty cop drama. There's detectives who are not so straight and narrow, and there's a little bit of the kind of underlying of the drug world going on, and it's the kind of a clashing of those two worlds in a way.
Wow. Well, how did you come across this project, and what was your inspiration going into this role?
I met with the producers for it. I play an assistant in the homicide division, so like the main lieutenant of the homicide division, what you call them. It's fun for me to finally be able to play something a little bit more my age. I typically play things that are a little bit younger than me, which is cool too. I'm happy to grateful and happy to for any work that comes my way. But it's kind of fun to play somebody who's in her late 20s and just she's kind of, I guess you could say, kind of one of the guys. She's like one of the few females that's in the division, and kind of all the stuff that goes along with being in an environment like that. And growing up, I always wanted to play like a cop or a lawyer or something like that. So I'm getting closer. I'm not quite the detective yet, but it's fun to be a part of the atmosphere.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now I definitely got some couple more really good questions for you, but I know my co-host do. CK, you got any questions for Kimberly?
Yes. How you doing, Kimberly?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just good. Was there any role that you really enjoy playing in your career so far?
It's really hard to pick out just one. Everything that I've done along the way has been fun and special for different reasons. And certainly the type of role you get to play, like somebody, like my character in Big Bad Wolf, who was a motorcycle riding, kind of a tomboy, tough girl who didn't really take any crap from anybody. And so being somebody like that, you don't have to filter what you're saying or thinking, and stuff like that can be fun, because obviously you can get away with more than what you can in real life, and you get to kind of live out that more rebellious side of yourself that you normally wouldn't get to. Bringing Down the House was a blast to do such a great quality comedy like that with amazing people, and everything along the way. I've been doing this since I was about 5 or 6, so it's been quite a journey, and I'm, like I said, grateful for all the different opportunities that come my way.
Absolutely.
Wow,
LEO, you have any questions for Kimberly?
Yes, I do. How you know, Kimberly? This is LEO.
I'm great, thanks.
Okay, my first question for you. Now, you just gave me a little bit more on your history on becoming who you are today.
which is great. Have you ever had trouble or find it complicating to become a character and get into character? And if so, why do you feel that way?
That's a great question. I think that there's different challenges with everything. I think with different aspects of personalities and characters that sometimes you have to play out more emotional situations or problems that you don't necessarily have life experience to draw off of, so you have to kind of channel that emotion in other ways. And a lot of times it's kind of using similar experiences or memories to help with that emotion. A lot of times I've used music to kind of get you in a certain mood and help you kind of stay in that mind space for a certain scene or something. And a lot of times it's a lot of experimentation, I guess. It's a lot of trying out certain things. And when you have good directors and actors around you that you're working with, you kind of have that freedom to try out little things in the character and see what works and what doesn't. And then there's been other characters that have a little bit more of a something either medical or a history that you can actually do research on. Like I've played it with the autistic telekinetic character I played in Rose Red, or I played a manic depressive schizophrenic girl in a movie called My Sister's Keeper with Kathy Bates some years back. So there was a lot of research and that sort of thing done with that type of role. So you kind of draw on all different aspects, if that makes sense.
Was there anything that you ever didn't want to do, like absolutely didn't want to do?
Well, I think that there's sometimes scripts or certain characters that you're sent that either, I don't know, maybe you have suggestions for something that to you as the actor maybe feels a little bit more authentic possibly than what's written.
Okay.
And if the freedom's there to kind of suggest something that, like I said, maybe, feels a little bit more authentic or real to you, then hopefully you can kind of work that out. And then there's just been sometimes other material that, not necessarily that's been given to me, that I've either, had the opportunity to read or possibly audition for, something like that, that has been, you never know. Sometimes there's stuff that, really likes to push the envelope. And so it's all about kind of how, what the producers and the director, what their vision is behind the project, and then you kind of see where you can go from there.
Okay, I can respect that. Now, you said you started at a fairly young age. Now, was this a passion of yours since a young age, or were you kind of pushed into it?
No, I think it was definitely a passion of mine. I think I didn't realize exactly what it was. I mean, I was very outgoing as a kid and always loved to put on little plays and performances with my siblings and stuff when I was young, and I acted out movies as I watched them. So I don't think at that time, being so young, that I quite knew that I wanted to be an actress, but my parents saw that love in me and put me in classes in the beginning just to kind of see if it was something that I would respond to and if it was kind of a way for me to, kind of act out those needs and, that fun that I wanted to have. And I loved it when they put me in it. And then that's how I kind of started. I was actually on the East Coast at the time. I was born in Maryland, and I started in training there. And then some people that I was training with suggested that I try out New York, and that was how I started auditioning. And it was when I did my first Broadway show, I think I was 7, and that was being on stage and stuff. I remember having an epiphany one night, kind of standing out there going, oh my gosh, this is so fun, and I hope I get to do this for a really long time.
Okay, yeah, those are my questions. I did have one more. Are you satisfied with where your career is right now, where do you want to take it, basically? Where do you want to take your career?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the the whole thing about the entertainment business, and it is such a it has a natural ebb and flow to it. So I think there's definite highs and lows where there's more opportunities and then less opportunities, just depending on your age and the, you know, the economy and just all kinds of stuff like that. So it's I'm always grateful for stuff that comes my way, and I'm happy to be working and to be able to do quality stuff and stuff that challenges me.
Respect. Much respect. Those are my questions for you. Thank you so much for answering them.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, Kimberly, I find this very, very extremely interesting, but you received an Emmy nomination at the age of 11 in your portrayal in the hit soap opera Guiding Light. What was that like? I mean, to get an Emmy nomination at a young age. I mean, what was that like for you?
It was crazy and very surreal. It was, Guiding Light in general was such a great project to be a part of. I was on the show for about 5 years, and then I went back, I think it was in 2006 for a little bit. But soap operas and unfortunately are right now are not as popular as they used to be, but they were such a great training ground for me young. The way that they shoot those shows is very different than film and a lot of other TV, where you have to shoot in one episode pretty much an entire day, sometimes more. So it trains you very very early on to memorize a lot of stuff and to kind of move at a faster pace. But I worked with some amazing actors, and it was got to play out crazy storylines. My mom came back from the dead, and all kinds of silly stuff that you would never. Maybe I shouldn't say never, but they're not as quite as normal situations, everyday situations that you would think you would find yourself in.
They were the typical soap opera storylines, you know.
Exactly.
Somebody dies and then they come back.
My mom was cloned at one point. I mean, stuff that you're like, well, this should be fun. And I was just so humbled and blessed to get that nomination and to be able to just go to the awards and be a part of that group and that category. And it was I loved being on that show, and I even still miss it to this day because I still keep in touch with a lot of people on that show, and my parents on that show are kind of like second parents to me now, and it was just wonderful overall.
Absolutely. I find it interesting, and I'm so glad that you made the comment about, soap operas not being as popular now as they were then, and even with some of the some of the more popular ones being canceled. Now, with that being said, and I know I was talking to our first guest, Carl, earlier in the show, and we talked about, reality shows and, the whole reality show genre, it seems to be television now, it seems to be the big genre of, that everybody, seems to like to watch on TV these days. And a lot of people kind of feel like we're kind of getting away from the golden era of television and some of the great shows and sitcoms that that we know and love, and just that type of style of television.
Yeah.
We're kind of coming away from it. But, I mean, the whole reality show genre, I mean, how do you feel about reality shows? Is that something that you yourself would want to be involved in?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think overall the industry and everything in general these days, it's harder for a lot of stuff to get made. And of course, networks and studios and stuff look at their bottom line. And reality shows most of the time are, I think, cheaper than to get made than. Actual, dramas and comedies and that sort of thing. And, I think it's some of the shows I think are still interesting and unique. Some of the other shows I think are worn out and very unoriginal, but I think people are fascinated by it because you get to watch other people. It's kind of, they kind of feel like they're being able to kind of be a fly on the wall in their life sort of thing. And what they don't know is a lot of it is set up and created,
yeah.
And it's not quite as, you know, quote, real as some of the viewers would like
problem.
To think. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so a lot of people that aren't as quite as familiar with, you know, Hollywood, for example, or something like that can kind of get mixed signals about stuff that, you know, what happens in certain industries that may not exactly be true. It might be twisted a little bit for entertainment value. So that part can be frustrating sometimes, for sure.
And I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And I think that's the reason why some people may have problems with watching reality TV, because it's not really reality. I mean, if you're being told what to say and what to do, then it's not a real situation.
yeah, definitely.
So, now, my last question for you, you know, which is basically our theme for tonight, honoring 9/11. 11 years ago, you know, the tragic situation. Where were you, and what was going on in your mind when it was going down?
Well, as I'm sure most people say, you kind of remember it like it was yesterday. I used to live on the Lower East Side in Manhattan for many, many years. Kind of grew up there, and the Twin Towers were a huge, significant part of not only my my view of the city, but also just my childhood. Some of my friends and I used to play at the park down in Battery Park, a lot of the areas that aren't there anymore, and it was just a huge, significant part of the whole culture of the city, and it was just shocking. I mean, I was in California at the time, and it felt very unreal. I remember seeing the first news break of it on TV, and it was unreal. It was kind of like, well, surely they're going to cut right now and say that this isn't actually what's going on. And, you know, it was. And I was just shocked and heartbroken that people would be so desperate and just driven by fear and hate and all that stuff to inflict that kind of pain and just horror on people that they didn't even know for some kind of reason that that they just the whole thing is they were just being led for all of the wrong reasons, and I still watch the coverage and the scenes and stuff of all of the people and the New York responders, and you hear stories and of, you know, all the other down by the Pentagon and all those other areas that, you know, the people that just rushed in, and it's just so sad. There's not really words that can describe the kind of feeling that I think everybody felt that day. And I think, you know, out of those horrible situations, you try to look for the good or some kind of understanding from it, and I think it made us stronger as a nation and as a people, but at what cost? You know, it's still as fresh to people all these years later, and I think it always will be.
Absolutely, and you're right. It's even 11 years later, you know, when you think about it, you still kind of say to yourself, it's really hard to believe, you know, something like that happened. I mean, it was a huge tragedy in our history, and a lot of Americans just really couldn't believe it, you know, that something like that happened, and all those lives that were lost. I mean, I agree with you. It's really super surreal to know that.
I don't think it's ever really comprehensible, too. You know, people
right.
hear numbers of fatalities and injuries and all that kind of stuff, but it's just, I don't think anybody will ever really fully grasp just how devastating it was, and I only hope that we can continue to move from it in a positive way and
absolutely.
You know, like I said, be able to use the bad for good.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to say, Kimberly, like I said before, I'm definitely a big fan of your work, and you are an incredible actress. And I'm looking forward to definitely seeing more of your work and also your new project. And definitely good luck with that. And I do truly do hope it gets picked up.
Thank you. Yeah, so do I.
And I want to say, as far as I'm concerned, in the D-Hour Network, it was a blessing and it was an honor definitely to have you on the show with us. And as far as we're concerned, you know, D-Hour Show is your home and you're welcome here anytime. And you can stop by and talk to us anytime you want. You're always welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the love, and I always just always am grateful to talk to fans and you know, and just nice people like yourself. And it's just always nice to hear the feedback, you know. So I really appreciate it, and I would absolutely love to come back anytime.
Absolutely. CK, you got any closing comments for Kimberly?
I just want to say thank you for coming on. It was a really big treat to have you on, and we got to talk with you. And thank you for sharing everything that you told us.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate you letting me yak on about myself.
Elio, you got any closing comments for Kimberly?
Definitely. Continue to work hard and pursuing in your career, and hopefully you get to your high and be able to get those roles where you feel a little bit more comfortable. It's your age rank. I can understand that being comfortable is key. So I wish you the best in your future.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Kimberly, you definitely have a blessed night, and we're going to continue to keep watching you and supporting everything that you do.
Thank you. You too. Right back at all of you guys.
Absolutely. Also, Kimberly, if anybody wants to talk to you on Twitter, let everybody know what your Twitter handle is.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's @officialKJB, my initials. So @officialKJB.
And also, if they want more information, they can just also go to your website, KimberlyJBrown.com.
Yep, that's where I am. I blog there and put up news and photos and that sort of stuff. So you can always find me there.
All right. Well, Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Truly a blessing to talk to you. And keep working hard, and we're definitely going to keep watching.
Thank you so much.
All right. You have a blessed night.
You too.
It's the D-Hour Show, Blog Talk Radio, D. Slade and the boys, CK, Elio. We in the building right now. Right now, I'm going to give you guys another tribute song. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, we're going to go in on our on a discussion real quick about what we thought and what was going on that day when everything was going down with 9/11. And we got more show. When we come back right now, we have one of my favorites, and I think it was, I feel like it was appropriate to definitely use this for the 9/11 tribute. I know all the old school R&B fans will appreciate this as well. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire with Keep Your Head to the Sky right here on the D-Hour Show, Tuesday Spot.
Yeah, yeah. Now that's what I call real hip hop. Are you a lover of hip hop? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that hip hop is not dead? Then if you do, the place to be is notyourhead.web.com. Nod your head, get exactly what you want. Pure hip hop, real hip hop, untainted hip hop, and all of the above. Come to nodyourhead.web.com and get all the latest in hip hop news, videos, and hip hop music. And see interviews with some of the hottest stars in the game, past and present. And if you come to nodyourhead.web.com, you might just take a trip down hip hop's memory lane. That's nodyourhead.web.com. So come on through, and let's make sure hip hop stays alive and well, no doubt.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's the D Hour Show on Blog Talk Radio. D Slate and the boy CK Leo, my co-host, my brothers in the building, hanging out with us on this lovely Tuesday night on the Tuesday spot. I wanted to give you guys a little brief moment of silence for all the lives, the incredible lives lost on this day of 9/11. And I definitely want to send a huge shout out to all the brothers and sisters and all the men and women of the fire departments and police departments that lay down their lives every day to make sure we're protected. Definitely want to send a huge shout out to you guys. You guys do incredible work and continue to keep doing work, and we're going to continue to keep supporting everything that you do. Right now, we got about 11 minutes into the show. I want to go real quick down the line with me and my brothers and our thoughts and, you know, everything that, you know, where we were at and what was going on in our minds on the day of 9/11 years ago. I'm going to start with Leo.
About 11 years ago, I was in eighth grade. We was sitting in our classroom, and I know every morning we would watch the news. It'd be like school news, but that day was an interruption, and it flashed to the regular news, and it was broadcasting what was going on. There was a lot of commotion going on in the class at the time. You know, we're 13 years old. We're just talking, going about our business. I think the first plane hit. It didn't really strike what was going on because it wasn't. Our direction went here to the TV. Once the first plane hit, we started to sit down. She told us to sit down and everything like that and watch TV. Everyone got quiet. Second plane hit, then reality just struck. Went in complete silence and complete shock. Everyone was just still. The whole entire classroom straight silent, and everyone is in a panic. They're talking about some of their parents commute back and forth to New York. I was like, I know my parents is here, but I don't even know what's going on there. So I'm just like, the impossible is happening right now. So everyone was in shock and didn't know what to think. It took a while for everything to set in, though. But that's where I was. I was in school. Everyone got early dismissal. We went home to our families and just, you know, commiserated on the field, made sure everybody was okay, contacted anyone that we knew that was in New York at the time. But, yeah, that's where I was at. In the Jackson Mile.
CK, what about you, bro?
At the time, I was 20 years old, and I was in college. I stormed out the house that morning because I was that upset about something with the family. And I went over to the library to get online, and I was online, and I had seen the headlines on, it was on Yahoo. I mean, we were talking about the first plane that went in, and then it showed the second plane. And then I left, because I'm like, it was just too shocking. I had to get back home, kind of like, I just really needed to talk to my mom about it. So getting back home, turn on the radio, ABC News is all over the station. And it was just like, wow. And they let out the kids early that day, and a friend of mine went to see her sister was at school, but they met up somehow or another. But it was really a really touching thing, because I'm like, I couldn't believe nothing like this has happened. I'm looking at the TV reports, and all the buildings is just crumbling down, and it's polluting the whole ground, and everybody's caught up in it. People running for their lives. I was like, what in the world has happened? And then what I experienced later that week, maybe like the next couple of days after, we were trying to find gas. And gas stations were like lined up like it was the unemployment on Christmas. Unemployment line, like crazy. Like it was like you had to wait in line just to get to a pump because everybody was in fear that they were thinking something else was going to happen. And they said, let me get my gas now. Let's get going. It was really crazy that day to think back to it. But it's one of the most things. Even if it's 11 years later, I would never forget anything like this. Even in taking it to the grave, that's something that you just, like, can't get by at all.
Wow. I want to thank you, brothers, definitely for sharing that with us. I think myself, man, I was actually on my way to work, and I was driving, and I was listening to it on the radio, and it was in the morning, and I thought the hosts on this radio show in the morning, I thought they were kidding. I thought they were screwing around, you know, trying to play a joke on everybody. And I was like, okay, these dudes is playing around. And then they just kept talking about saying it was serious. And I was like, man, I know this can't be serious. I said, I know our government has not allowed no planes to run into no buildings, and not no buildings of that size and caliber. I said, I was like, come on, now this can't be true. And I'm driving, and when I get to work, everybody's, you know, some people were crying, and they were like, man, did you hear what's going on? And people were watching television. I'm like, it's true? And I couldn't believe it. And they showed, you know, the first plane running into the building. I'm like, what? And then also, you know, minutes later after that, they showed the other plane going into the build, into the other tower. And then I'm like, this is horrendous. I'm like, I can't believe this. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, planes? I'm like, and, you know, running into buildings? And I'm thinking about, you know, everybody that's in those buildings and all those people in there. And I can't, and I'm going to tell you right now, the way I felt and how hard and how deep my heart dropped when I started seeing people jump out of the towers, as high up as they were, and people were thinking, you know, I refuse to be crushed to death or whatever the case may be. So people were jumping. I couldn't believe it, man. I almost wanted to cry myself when I saw that. I couldn't believe that people were jumping out like that, as high as they were. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. I said, I can't believe this. And I'm watching, and then they start going into the whole terrorist story. And I'm like, terrorists? I'm like, so terrorists took over the plane and ran these planes into buildings trying to make a statement. And I'm like, what's really going on? I'm like, well, what the hell is going on? And then they talked about the plane that crashed in, I think, Philly. I think it was in Philly.
Outside of Philadelphia.
Right. Exactly. And they talked about the plane that crashed there because the passengers took over the plane and refused to let them do the same thing with that plane and the plane that landed to the Pentagon. And I'm like, damn, is there an attack on the United States? And I'm like, there's an attack on the United States. And I'm like, they're bold enough to attack us at our home? I'm like, okay, it's getting real. You know, and I couldn't believe it. And I just, after this whole situation happened, and I just said that, you know, we you know, as Americans and as a, you know, as our government, we truly need to be careful with, you know, we truly need to be careful with how we treat, you know, these people in these other countries and how we handle our foreign affairs, because clearly something has gone wrong. And I couldn't believe it, man. My heart almost stopped. I mean, I just couldn't believe what happened, and I just, you know, I prayed for these people and these individuals and, you know, these families that were scared for their husbands and brothers and fathers, the firefighters and policemen that were being shipped out there to help. I prayed for them cats, man, and I just couldn't believe that it happened. And like I said, it's a horrendous day in our history, and hopefully we can get past it, you know, as we have been the past few years, and think positive and start, you know, treating everybody with respect, and you know, and continue to hope for the best. You know, just continue to hope for the best. And you know, like I said before, you know, the Hour Show, and you know, we like to send our condolences and prayers out to the families who lost their loved ones, and all those firefighters and policemen that lost their lives helping out and saving lives. And definitely, you know, praying that you guys continue to get through this this tragedy. And I want to definitely send a shout out right now. I want to take this opportunity to send a shout out to my man Carl Payne and Ms. Kimberly J. Brown for joining us tonight on the show. Had some incredible interviews with them tonight, and I want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us on this lovely Tuesday spot. Tune in tomorrow to Nod Your Head Wednesday with Brock Gunny, a.k.a. L1, and RC, as they get in tomorrow on Nod Your Head Wednesday, and tune in to Celebrity Thursday, and just keep tuning into the D-Hour Show every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on the show. You never know. You just have to keep tuning in. And definitely thank, you know, another wonderful show with my brother CK and LEO. And make sure you guys keep tuning in. You guys have a wonderful Tuesday night. And stay blessed.
Definitely,
keep your head up and stay positive tonight. LEO, what you want to say to the people?
You know, like always, live every day optimistically, man. Keep focused and try to keep all the negativity away from you, because it's not healthy. Stress is not healthy, man. Just think positive and live in the light. Definitely live
in
the light.
No doubt. CK?
I just want to say God bless everyone. I also want to give a shout-out to Jerry the King Lawler, who had a heart attack yesterday at the announcer's table on Monday Night Raw. In Montreal. I just wanted to say live life like it's your last. Enjoy it. Be wise about what you do, everybody. There's a lot of things that we could be doing more promising, more positive, and turn away from the negative. There's a lot of people that, excuse me, that really just really been outdone. So I'm just praying for the positive over the negative to happen.
No doubt. And definitely make sure you guys stay blessed and keep the prayers. Keep the prayers going, and treat people with respect, and, you know, live every day. Like my man Elio say, live every day optimistically. And just stay positive. And on that note, usually we will play the D-Hour Show outro song. Not tonight. I got something special. On that note, I'm gonna end this night off with a very special song that was created some years ago for tragic situations, and to help the world come together and think positive and think about peace. And that song was directed by Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, and Lionel Richie, and the song's called "We Are the World." Right here on the D-Hour Show Tuesday spot. We'll see you guys next time. Peace and love.
Peace.
Good night, everybody.
Together as one, there are people.
change. We all are part of God's great big family.